You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Today on the show, Arkansas basketball beats Memphis 99-75. We'll discuss it. We'll also have Sam Sklar from the Jackson Clarion Ledger on to talk about Mississippi State. First, a word from Kendall King.
Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Not a whole lot of football talk today. We'll talk Mississippi State with Sam Sklar a little bit later. But it's October 28th, and I was telling you something earlier. I was looking up some stuff a little bit earlier this morning about Arkansas and Mississippi State. You know, they're... State had some good years under Dan Mullen, but for the most part, these teams have kind of mirrored each other in that there have been some really bad years over the last decade or so between Arkansas and Mississippi State. And it's October 28th. This is the seventh time since 2013 that Arkansas has gone into October 28th without an SEC win. So seven times in 13 seasons, they go into October 28th without an SEC win. Basically, that's 2 months into the season. Over half of the last 13 years where they haven't had an SEC win. Like, you wouldn't kind of put Arkansas football of the last dozen, 13, Baker's dozen years together and say, hey, here's what it kind of looked like. I think that stat might do it as well as anything.
Yeah, for sure. And it's one of those stats that you have to read again because it's just so jarring that more often than not since then that they have been without a win at this point. I think that it's something that Arkansas fans have felt, but maybe not realized.
It's why I think things feel hopeless a lot of times for the Razorbacks because you get so deep into a season and they're not winning games. They're not winning consequential games, not winning SEC games. And so, I don't know, it's just take that for what it's worth. Maybe that's your stat of the day. But
well, and also in that span of this, so there's 7 years that they haven't had a win at this point. There's six that they have. Four of those belong to Sam Pittman, which is kind of crazy because it makes his tenure in comparison look a lot better. But it got to a point where even that was just feeling bleh.
Yeah, it looks better compared to a very low bar
exactly.
That was set by Brett Bielema and Chad Morris before him. There's your football talk for the day. We're going to talk basketball now. Razorbacks beat Memphis 99-75 last night at the FedEx Forum over in Memphis. And I got to tell you, this game started so late. It was supposed to start at 8, 25-minute delay because Memphis and Vanderbilt go long before that. A women's game beforehand went long. And then Joe Lindsay and the boys got whistle happy and – I'll be perfectly honest, I fell asleep with about three and a half minutes left in this game. I was on Struggle Street for a lot of the second half, and I just couldn't. And so when I woke up, I saw the score was 99-75. Like, well, what happened? This was a game that, you know, Memphis was up by 15 in the first half, and then Arkansas kind of, you could see them taking over, and they're up by 8, 9, 10, I think, when I dozed off. So what the heck happened at the end to make this thing get to 24?
I think they just wore Memphis down, to be perfectly honest. This is an Arkansas team that I got a lot of texts from people already today saying, like, they didn't play so great. Like, there were such ugly portions of the game for Arkansas, yet they win by 24.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I think this is just a team that is so talented and athletic that you can beat a team by this margin and not have played your best game. It makes them a scary team, and it makes them a team that in non-conference play, I know they have a gauntlet playing a lot of quality opponents, but in those games that are not against quality opponents, those scores could be very, very ugly because they're just going to overwhelm teams.
They had, what, like 13, 15 points about midway through the first half, and then they end the half with 42? I mean, like, once it got going, and it felt like Malik Thomas was the key. Really, once he got going, that's when everything started to work.
Absolutely. And yeah, you're right. They had 14 points at the 7:59 mark of the first half, which means that they scored 85 points in 28 minutes to close the game. I put it in the game story on our website, wholehogsports.com, about how they turned a 15-point deficit into a 24-point win. So that's a 39-point margin right there. You can go even further. They were down by 9 early in the second half. That's outscoring your opponent, quick math, to get from down 9 to win by 24 in this second half by 33 points in about 19 minutes and some change. So this team just, they can overwhelm you quick, I think. I think that they've got the talent. And once they get out in transition, this is a big key stat from the game, I think, as well. Arkansas actually turned the ball over one more time than Memphis. It was 14-13, but Arkansas points off turnovers, I believe it was 20-9. So that means that Arkansas was turning teams over and getting out quick and dunks, layups. I mean, this team gets a lot of dunks. We've seen that through two games so far. They're getting easy looks when their defense turns into offense. That's something that we saw last year. But this team is more talented offensively than last year, too. I mean, you mentioned Malik Thomas. Whenever that shot is on, which so far it has been in everything that we've seen, it's a beautiful thing to watch. He's so talented. Darius Akef is talented. These two freshmen, I mean, talk about best freshman duos in the nation. They've got to be in the discussion. I don't even know really off the top of my head which other ones would be contesting them too much. But this is the year of the freshman in college basketball, I think. And Arkansas has two really good ones.
Dunk City has taken Pat Pearson and Florida Gulf Coast. They trademarked that several years ago. I was thinking maybe you change Fayetteville to Dunkettville. That's kind of what we're looking at with this team, because I do think that these two games are an indication that they're going to be a really fun over-the-rim type team to watch.
Yeah, they get a lot of points at the rim between these dunks, between layups. And then they're shooting decent from three-point range. I mean, they were 6 of 17 last night. That's 35%. I believe against Cincinnati it was more around 40%. So they're shooting all right from three-point range, but they're getting a lot of their points around the rim. They've got just some tough shot makers, too. I mean, Malik Thomas hit a really pretty floater that kind of teardropped in the second half that stood out. You have Darius Akef can just go create a shot, I think, whenever he wants. And this is the crazy thing. You're looking at the end of the game at the stats, and kind of everybody's feasting for Arkansas in the scoring, too, which just tells me that it's a team that's playing at this juncture of the season pretty unselfish. They're taking what they can get. Malik Thomas, the thing about him is he's got such a nice shot, and he can get it off pretty much whenever. I think shot selection is going to be big for him. So far, it's been pretty good. He had a couple maybe ill-advised early yesterday, and Calipari talked to him even a little bit. But I think that once he just continues to get a greater grasp of college basketball, aware of situations, that he's going to be a player that, I mean, he's an X factor. That's the best way to put it. The game changed because of him. And I think that he's the type of guy who just is going into college basketball already with kind of a fearless mindset. You can tell that it's probably based on his upbringing or whatever, but he's not afraid when he goes in there.
The game also turned because Arkansas was not ready for Memphis's press at the beginning of the game, and I think that was painfully evident. But the game, you know, they say that you punch a bully in the mouth, and that's kind of what they did to Memphis. They started pressing Memphis, and this isn't going to be a real high press team from Arkansas, but that's what I felt like turned the game last night. Was they got into a little bit of a full court press, got Memphis sped up, and that's what got Arkansas back into it in the first half. And so there is that. If they need that element, they do have that.
Yeah, for sure. And it was what they did when they turned Memphis over too, to actually capitalize and score. Arkansas, I think it was 6 or 7 turnovers around the time they got down by 15. I think they went the rest of the first half without a turnover and then started turning Memphis over, and that was the difference. It was once that they figured out how to kind of play some street ball with Memphis too, because it seemed like they just kind of got punched in the face. It was a different look than they had against Cincinnati, where they really were facing a team that was not afraid to get up in their grill, turn them over. Arkansas got sped up, was taking bad shots, was missing some open shots too. And then once they figured out how to just kind of play with Memphis and play that game, they were just, like I said, the talent and the athleticism takes over. And I think that Arkansas is going to be able to do this to a lot of teams. Obviously, they have a hard schedule. It won't always be a 24-point win over Memphis or whatever the score ended up being against Cincinnati, 28 or whatever. You aren't always going to get that. But I do think that this is a team that once they get hot and get in another team's head, it can get ugly real fast. I mean, they were, I think it was 10 or 12 points with like 3 minutes left yesterday. And then they go on a 13-0 run to close the game. I know Memphis was in its bench a little bit more than Arkansas, but that's the thing. Arkansas coach Cal doesn't really recruit to where you play your bench. He plays his 8 or 9, which Isaiah Seely, we didn't see him last night. I think you'll see him probably more often than maybe that situation with that game. But it's a team that I just think, yeah, once they get into your head a little bit and get running and get in transition, and it can avalanche pretty quickly.
Yeah, that was one of the things I noticed last night, that the bench shrunk a lot from what they had done against Cincinnati, and it might have been because the game was playing out a lot different than the Cincinnati game did, too. It's weird that we sit here and we're breaking down this exhibition game that doesn't even count toward the record, but it goes to show how different things are in college basketball now. You know, playing KU and TCU last year and Cincinnati and Memphis this year, that game last night, at least from watching it on TV, it sure looked like it had like a conference tournament-like feel, you know, like the game that tips off at 8:30, 8:50 on a Tuesday night, and everybody's, you know, like you're at home and you're kind of tired watching it, but you can tell everybody who's there, they're really energized and into the game. And I'm sure part of this had to do with Calipari coming back to Memphis, first time that he'd been there to play Memphis. It was the first time that Arkansas and Memphis had played on the mainland, or in the U.S. even, in like 20 years. The only time they played since the annual series got shut down, it was over in the Bahamas as part of the Battle for Atlantis a couple of years ago. So I'm sure that some of that played into it. But I think more than anything, it's just these exhibition games, even though they don't count, they become a big part of your schedule now.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, Coach Calipari has shown the past 2 years that he likes to take his team on the road. I know, if I'm not mistaken, the TCU game, was that neutral site or was that at TCU?
It was not on campus. It was at Dickey's Arena in downtown Fort Worth. I mean, it could have been a TCU home game, even though I don't think that very many TCU people showed up for it.
Yeah, I'm not
it's
sure.
High school football. It was a football Friday night in Texas.
For sure. I was about to say, I think that it was kind of similar to the fact that, like, against Memphis, there was obviously a predominant Memphis crowd, but there were some Arkansas people who traveled, probably similar to that TCU game. But it does put your team in a road scenario where you're doing the routines that you would have for a road game. I think that's important in the preseason, especially against a quality opponent. We aren't in the days of Arkansas blowing Tusculum out by 70, you know, just to...
Tusculum? Is that really how you said it?
Tusculum? How would you say it?
I don't know. I mean, I trust that you're right.
I think that's how you
usually
say it.
Usually whenever I go to the preseason, the first team that I come to is the Converse All-Stars or the EA Sports All-Stars.
I'm mentioning Tusculum because they were the very first, while I was a manager at... for the Razorbacks, the very first exhibition game. You aren't playing those teams and beating them by 70 anymore. You're playing quality opponents that you could see down the road. I mean, think about just last year. Arkansas ran into Kansas in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And they're such different teams at that point. Like, the vibes surrounding that exhibition game with Kansas ranked number one, and then obviously Arkansas kind of exposed them in that game, and then meeting in the NCAA tournament. Like, this just goes to show that it's October the 28th today. By middle of March, these will be totally different teams. But you're seeing an Arkansas team that you have to like where they're at this juncture. I mean, they're number one healthier than they were last year, so that provides an opportunity for them to really get things going in practice a little bit more, ability to maybe work on your rotation how you would in the season instead of last year. It was just always trying to figure it out. They didn't really have that luxury. So I just think that, yeah, we're in an era where these games can really mean something. I mean, you saw last night, Darius Acuff hits the ground hard. Billy Richmond in the second half hits the ground hard. These guys are like going after it like it's a like it's a regular season or postseason game. So they were, you know, the effort was demanded there. It did have the feel, you're like, if you're Arkansas, you just wish that this had been a regular season game. This is the type of win, if you beat a team on the road by 24, that we can assume Memphis is going to do all right in its conference. I think it was picked maybe second in the American. I think that this is the type of game that you wish was on your schedule because it would really help out the metrics.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, with Billy Richmond, I guess just whenever the lights come on, he's just going to give it everything he's got. But you watch him take that hard fall in the second half. It's like, hey, man, save that for a game that actually matters. And it mattered to him. I understand that it mattered to him. His dad is one of the former Memphis players, one of the many Memphis former players who were there. He's playing in his hometown. And so I get that. But you know, sometimes I think you just want to tell them, like, hey, you know, you almost wish you could wrap them in bubble wrap in these games and make sure that they don't get hurt.
Yeah, and I was wrong, by the way. They were picked to win the American.
Oh, I thought you were going to be wrong about Tusculum.
Oh, no, I'm not even going to challenge my pronunciation of that. I'm just going to roll with it and say it's good. I don't know why I threw a stray bullet at Tusculum, though. Like, I could have literally
picked... I said it wrong. Tusculum.
Tusculum?
I said Tusculum.
Well, one of us is saying it wrong, but I could have picked,
probably,
you know,
me.
They played Dillard 1 year, which I thought they were playing the store. But Yeah, you aren't playing those types of teams anymore. Arkansas has like a 39-game home exhibition winning streak, and it's like, of course you do when you look at them until the past like 3 years.
I think I can remember the one they lost. It was Stan Heath.
In 2004 against some sort of All-Stars.
Yeah, somebody, I mean, Converse All-Stars, Midwest All-Stars. I was looking this up whenever Arkansas won the national championship. The two exhibition games that they played that year were against Arkansas Express. I don't know what that is. And Latvia. They played Latvia in the second exhibition game. As in the nation? I suppose.
Well, that's just, it's college basketball has changed. Everybody's doing this now, playing big games. I mean, wasn't there Purdue, Kentucky the same night that Arkansas-Cincinnati played? That's a big-time game, I believe. Tennessee played a big exhibition game against somebody the other night.
It was the EA Sports Midwest All-Stars that beat Arkansas. And
as
Stan
in the
Heath.
Video game.
Yeah.
Crazy. But Tennessee,
Tennessee played, they played Duke.
But challenging games that teams are playing
KU played
now.
Louisville the other day. I mean, these are really cool matchups that you get early in the season.
And what you're getting is the chance to be exposed before it counts.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting the chance to, I think in a lot of situations like this for Arkansas, to coach against people that you respect, and it's a game that doesn't, the outcome isn't going to dictate a loss on one of your schedules. Like, I mean, Calipari and Bill Self, I think they enjoyed playing each other just because it was a chance for them to work on things with their teams. I think Cal and Penny Hardaway enjoyed last night getting to put their teams against each other, especially with all that surrounded Calipari returning to Memphis. These games are cool. I think that there's also the push right now to get some of these games in the summer, kind of like how the NBA does summer league. I don't know if that'll ever happen or if you really want that to happen. I think Calipari might be an advocate for it, but I think that anytime you can play a quality opponent and it doesn't count towards your record, Cal said this before the Cincinnati game, you either win the game or you learn from the game. Sometimes you can do both. And I think that Arkansas, through its non-conference slate, they'll benefit from what they did. I think that last night was important because they'd won and they definitely learned in it. That was a game that Calipari said they needed, and that was evident. You can't get off to poor starts like that when SEC play starts and expect to recover. I think that they needed to be ready for the jump to match Memphis's physicality. If they don't do that against Houston in a few weeks or whatever, I mean, that one could get ugly early too. Games like this teach you how to be ready for a different style of play from the tip, and you've got to match their energy right off the jump.
We talked about Malik Thomas a minute ago. I want to double back to him for a second because he's been the player that has really stood out to me in both of their exhibition games. I think he led him in scoring last night. I know he led him in scoring against Cincinnati. You got to be careful putting too much stock into the exhibition games. I understand that. But just kind of at first blush, I mean, this looks like a different type of freshman than Arkansas's had in a long time. I mean, and he's a McDonald's All-American. Calipari, we know what he got at Kentucky in terms of freshman year in and year out. We haven't seen a lot of those here. And there's something about his game that you just kind of, you try to forecast, hey, what might this look like 4 or 5 months down the road? And it feels like there's a lot of promise there with him.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, last year's they had a bunch of, you know, highly recruited freshmen as well. That I think it's a different scenario this year, where last year those highly touted freshmen kind of really had to shoulder a ton of the load right away because of injuries to the team. They didn't really have the veterans for all of these games to lean on. These two freshmen right now are getting thrown into a nucleus of players that it's the largest percentage of returning scoring in the SEC. They've got some experienced people who were on the team last year just to able to complement the talent that these two players have, and I think it's allowing those two freshmen, Malik Thomas and Darius Acuff, to really take off. And Malik Thomas is just the shot is just so pure. It's the quick release aspect of it is what's, you know, so pretty to watch to me. You know, last night Arkansas is obviously struggling until he comes in there and knocks down a few threes. And what impressed me was he was ready before the pass got to him. Like, he knew, I have a quick enough release that I can get this off and I'll be open. So it ended up looking like they were maybe more contested shots than they were. I think that he was just that ready to get the shot off, and he's got such a quick release that it can be deceiving this year. I think that you'll see some shots that he takes that you think it's a lot more contested. It's just the awareness that he has for a freshman of the ball's going to find me right here. I'm going to have a window. I can get this off, and he's a great shooter. But, yeah, these two freshmen are not your – these are your Calipari freshmen. These are the ones that can go get them a bucket. These are back-to-back exhibitions where the two of them – are the two leading scorers for the team. There's a lot to like.
Like Malik Ewan last night, he ends up with double-digit points, I think 7 rebounds. I thought the pass that he had, the cross-court pass over to Billy Richmond in the wing, was a really big play in their first half comeback. Like you said, there's just a lot of pieces I feel like to like about this team. This is a little bit revisionist because we all know how last year played out. But I think that if I were putting myself right now talking about this year's team versus where I was this time last year when they got back from TCU and they had lost that game, I would say I feel more confident in this year's team.
Absolutely, and it's the health of the team, in my opinion. It's the health and it's the offensive playmaking. I mean, you look at last night's stats, and this is just a team that I think is athletic and can create their own opportunities enough that they don't have to be, like, great from three. They just have to shoot the ball pretty good from three. You look at last night's stats. They went 6 of 17 from three. Memphis went 6 of 32. So they made as many threes as their opponent in 15 fewer attempts. That's the game right there. Mm. I think that this is a team that you just look at, and they're just making the right plays at this point of the year. I think Memphis, you'll probably check back around later in the year, and they aren't taking 32 threes if they're not making that many. I think that this is an Arkansas team that's way more polished at this time of the year than you're used to seeing from teams, and that's a credit to just the team health.
Memphis has nobody back from last year. They're one of nine teams in the country that have no players back from last season, and even though maybe it didn't appear this way the first 10 minutes with the way Memphis started the game, I think that probably, you talk about the three-pointers, one of the things that also was a big deal in this game is you got a core nucleus of Razorback players who have been together in a game like that, and Memphis is still learning how to play together.
Absolutely, and you can see the pieces for Memphis, so they're probably going to be all right. Bradshaw, I mean, he's 7-1, and he's making some just really nice shots a little bit away from the basket. He's talented. Doug McDaniel, he played a good game for them. Curtis Givens is somebody the Razorbacks have seen because he played at LSU, I believe. They had Zach Davis, who played at South Carolina with Nick Pringle, who, if you're going to point at one not bright spot for Arkansas yesterday, it's that he couldn't stay on the court because of foul trouble. He fouled out. It's just this Memphis team has pieces. They just aren't as experienced as Arkansas. And you look at the bench points, and that was a big contributor for Arkansas, too. They scored, let's see, how many points off the bench? 51. And it was from guys who, like Billy Richmond, who comes in there, he's been around the block, and he knows how to get in a game and start contributing right away. You had a freshman off the bench with Malik Thomas, and then I believe Malik Ewan off the bench as well. You just got Arkansas pieces that I think are you got a good mixture of experience and some cohesion on the team. Yeah, there's definitely still some things to point out from yesterday, but it's end of the day, you won by 24.
Now they play Southern. They play Michigan State. They're going to beat Southern next Monday night by quite a bit, probably. That's a season opener. And now, you know, I think that the team, they have to focus on Southern. The rest of us can kind of turn our eyes a little bit ahead toward playing Michigan State next Saturday up there.
Yeah, which is crazy. It hit me yesterday that is how close Arkansas is to playing a big game that does count with Michigan. It's right around the corner. But, yeah, these games against the teams like Southern, which Southern, to put in perspective, they're projected to do pretty well in their conference, could win the SWAC, but like this Arkansas team, the talent and stuff, I just think they should be able. Let me name them real quick: Southern, Central Arkansas, Samford, Winthrop, Jackson State, Fresno State, Queens, James Madison is a tricky one, but those teams, whenever Arkansas plays them, it should be ugly. Mm-hmm. It just should.
Doesn't mean it will be.
Doesn't mean it always will be. You know, college basketball is a sport where you can't ever count out a team. You got to bring your game. You can get upset, but they should, if they play according to their talent and their athleticism, just wear these teams out.
Can I tell you one thing I thought about last night? You know, the lights went out, like,
oh,
in the middle.
Was so,
like,
funny.
What was that, about 2-3 minutes into the game? You remember when the same thing happened a couple, 3 years ago down in North Little Rock, and it was like a 40-minute delay to get the lights to come back on?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, they were playing Lipscomb down there, and player intros happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get the lights on from after the player intros. And so Eric Musselman, not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Lenny Acuff, the Lipscomb coach, he was probably not thrilled, but you couldn't tell. That was funny. And that was a late game, too.
Mm-hmm.
But thank goodness the FedEx Forum lights were more apt to turn back on than those down there in Little Rock, North Little Rock.
A little bit different between an NBA arena and
Which Calipari loves to get them in those NBA arenas.
He does. They're going to play three games in NBA arenas this year. They have got that one. They got in Dallas against Texas Tech. and at the United Center in Chicago against Duke.
And then one in an NHL arena in Newark.
That's right.
So he likes to get his teams playing in pro venues.
Yeah, that's for sure. Ethan, good stuff. When we come back, we're going to have Sam Sklar on from the Jackson Clarion Ledger. He'll give us some insight into Mississippi State. First, a word from Kendall King.
Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Sam Sklar covers Mississippi State for the Jackson Clarion Ledger, and he joins us now. Sam, what's the feeling right now in Starkville about this game?
Well, I think this is a must-win game for Mississippi State. They still have this 16-game SEC losing streak that dates back to when Mississippi State last played at Arkansas in that 7-3, you know, kind of dreadful game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mississippi State and Jeff Lebby needs to get an SEC win. And when you look at the schedule, After this game, Mississippi State plays Georgia, Missouri, and Ole Miss. So this kind of is maybe their best chance remaining to get a win and you know, snap that really long SEC losing streak that's kind of overhanging right now of what's been a pretty good season, or at least you know, a turnaround here for Jeff Lebby after 2024.
You know, Mississippi State right now, it reminds me a little bit of what Arkansas went through early in the Brett Bielema tenure, where they didn't win a game in 2013. And then in 2014, they were taking all these teams to the brink. I mean, they lost to Alabama by a point. They lost to the Dak Prescott, number one Mississippi State team, on a long touchdown in the fourth quarter. It just felt like every week they were so close, and then something would happen and the rug would get pulled out from underneath them. It feels like that's kind of what we're seeing with Mississippi State right now. The overtime losses to Tennessee and Texas, the game against Florida that was really winnable there in the swamp. What do you think the key has been to just not making that one play or those two plays that are the difference in these games?
It's hard because, and even Jeff Lebby has admitted this, that it's not the same thing every time. It's kind of different things that crop up where, yeah, Mississippi State's lost all four of its SEC games, and in three of those four, Mississippi State either held a lead in the fourth quarter or was in position to kick a game-winning field goal when it was playing at Florida 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now Mississippi State is allowing the most points in the fourth quarter on average to against FBS opponents among power conference teams. A little bit of a tongue twister. But that's also not all on the defense, though. Like, Tennessee scored a defensive touchdown against Mississippi State last week. Texas returned a long punt for a touchdown that tied the game late. So it's kind of just a whole bunch of different things. And really, from an offensive side, just a total lack of execution where the team's going three and out when it has an opportunity to lead a game-winning drive and things like that. So I think that's the tricky part, is Mississippi State is consistently getting in its own way in these late-game situations, but the causes of those situations are not consistent. And so that's what's kind of been brutal right now for Mississippi State.
There's a narrative out there about the Bulldogs, and part of this may just be based on the teams they played, but that they're a much better team at home than they are on the road. Have you seen that?
Maybe. I think every team is probably better at home than they are on the road. But, you know, they played one SEC. The only game for Mississippi State that wasn't close was really when they played at Texas A&M. They lost 31-9, but that was a pretty close game actually into the third quarter. Mississippi State actually was winning for most of the first half of that game, I think just 3-0. But that was really the toughest opponent that Mississippi State, I think, has faced, as we've seen what Texas A&M has done this season. I think that Mississippi State is able to hold up pretty well on the road. Otherwise, they probably should have beaten Florida a couple weeks ago had Blake Shapen not thrown an interception while they were in field goal range with under 30 seconds to play. you know, they would have maybe kicked a game-winning field goal, and then it would have been a whole lot of different conversations.
With Jeff Lebby, Arkansas fans are going to be familiar with this offense. I mean, it's a branch off of the Art Briles offense. We saw it here for 3 years with Kendall as Arkansas's offensive coordinator. You look at the Texas game last week, I think Texas' defense is really good, and so you see the numbers that Mississippi State put up against them, and you would say, okay, they're, you know, there's the offense. But there have been other games too, and I'm sure you've seen this, where the offense just hasn't been there. Is there any surprise that it's not as consistent in year two?
I think there is some surprise with that for sure. I think part of the issue right now has been the offensive line, or at least it was a little bit earlier in the season when they played the Texas A&M game specifically. One of their they've already been without one of their starting tackles since week one. He's done for the year, Blake Steen. And then their other starting tackle got injured against Tennessee about a month ago, missed a game, and that had a really big effect on the offensive line. And Albert Reese, the guy who I'm talking about, he's been back, and that has helped a lot in terms of, you know, having more of a consistent rhythm. But it is pretty astonishing sometimes how this offense can look so, so good, like it was against Texas through three quarters on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, for some reason, like three and outs just can will happen all the time. And even in that Texas game, Mississippi State had 2 3 and outs to start the game and then finally drove down the field and had a on the third drive and then had a field goal blocked. And so it is kind of surprising that they have these just three and outs that happen somewhat consistently. But at the same time, they are still able to put up points pretty well. So it's kind of like a weird balance of it, but it's just kind of how it is.
What do you think the mindset of Mississippi State's like this week? Because, like you said, they were up by 17 on Texas. It looks like they've got this big win. You know, the losing streak is over, and then it just kind of comes unraveled on them. We've seen this with Arkansas this year where, yeah, it looks like, hey, they're going to get that win. Just last week against Auburn would be a great example. And, you know, Bobby Petrino was asked about it last week, and, you know, are you concerned about how the team might respond from this? And he said that's something that, yeah, we talked about. How do you think that last week affects Mississippi State going into this game?
I mean, it was really a tough one to swallow for Mississippi State. It absolutely was. But honestly, three of their losses, of these SEC losses, have been really tough losses. Mm-hmm. They were up by 7 against Tennessee in the SEC opener before losing in overtime. And, you know, that Florida game, like I talked about, they probably should have won that game. Mm-hmm. and kicked a game-winning field goal. And then now this happens where you blow a 17-point lead before losing in overtime. And honestly, I think Mississippi State, because they've had a lot of these games already, of these tough, tough losses, they've actually responded decently well, which is kind of surprising to say, maybe because they've still been losing those games. But they've been competitive in really all four of these games. And even that Texas A&M game, that was 31-9. A lot of those points by A&M were kind of tacked on in the end of the game. But Mississippi State was in that game for about three quarters on the road in a night game at Texas A&M without a starting right tackle, with a starting running back, Fluff Bothwell, but was carted off the field in that game. They also didn't have one of their best defensive players in Isaac Smith in that game. So the team has responded pretty well. And so I actually do kind of have confidence that they will in this game. And I think, you know, Jeff Lebby yesterday was saying that, you know, they don't view this game as, you know, their best chance to get an SEC win or a must win, because they view every game the same and everything like that. But I, like I said earlier, I think from a fan's perspective and all of that, this has to be a win for Mississippi State if you want to show progress that you're turning things around.
Blake Shapen, what's he look like this season?
I'd say it's been a little bit up and down for him. He had a pretty good start to the season when Mississippi State was running through its non-conference schedule, then hit a little bit of a lull for, I'd say, about three games. Again, part of that was the offensive line, which has been better lately, but still is not perfect at all. But Blake Shapen, to his credit, the last two games, I think, has played a lot better. He has back-to-back games with 300 passing yards. Last week against Texas, he set a career high in passing yards, and that's a guy who started a lot of football games at Baylor before, and then four games last year before his injury. I think he's been maybe almost better than what fans want to give him credit for, if I'm being honest. Like, a lot of fans have kind of, you know, bad opinions about him. They think that he's maybe holding the team back or things like that. But statistically, he's actually having a pretty good season, and I think maybe deserves a little bit more credit than what he's been given. So I think, you know, he hasn't won an SEC game either since coming here to Mississippi State. So that's also been something that's eluded him. And there's this narrative out there that, you know, Blake Shapen's not capable of winning an SEC game. I think it goes a lot farther than that, really, in terms of Mississippi State's problems. But, you know, he's been solid is what I would say. And I would expect him to rebound pretty well again in this game, you know, against Arkansas.
People will look at Mississippi State and say they haven't beaten an SEC team. They haven't beaten anybody. Well, that's not right. They beat Arizona State down there in week two. It's an Arizona State team that was in the playoff last year. I know they're not as good this year, but they still seem like they're a pretty good team. They beat Texas Tech. What happened in that game, and maybe what happened in that game, and what has not happened in their other big-time games?
I think it still just comes down to that execution in the fourth quarter. I mean, they kind of won on a magical, miracle play, if you want to call it that, when Blake Shapen threw a deep touchdown pass to Brennan Thompson in the final moments of the game, and you know, fans stormed the field after, and it was kind of what felt like a breakthrough moment for this program, and still maybe is. The defense played super well in that game. I believe they had shut out Arizona State until Arizona State kicked a field goal, I believe, in the final seconds of the second quarter. And so the defense got off to a really good start, and that was something that last season was a big, big issue for Mississippi State, was the defense. And I think Arkansas is kind of in that same boat right now, but Mississippi State's defense has improved tremendously. I wouldn't say that they're, you know, elite and at the top of the SEC, but somewhere kind of just in the middle, which is really all that Mississippi State has kind of wanted or needed because of Jeff Lebby and his offense and things like that. But it's just so tough because it hasn't turned into any wins, and they had that 4-0 start, four non-conference games, and now play eight straight SEC games to close the season. So if you don't win this game, there might be a chance that Mississippi State loses eight straight games to end the season, which obviously a lot of that momentum probably from September would go away.
What do you think the big key is this weekend?
I think it's Mississippi State just finding a way to not make the big mistake in the fourth quarter, because it's been an issue with penalties, especially too. Mississippi State has committed some of the most penalties in the country. And part of, I think, what kind of kickstarted that Texas comeback last week was when Mississippi State got a stop on fourth down in the fourth quarter and committed a roughing the passer penalty that didn't need to happen at all. Mississippi State would have been off the field in Texas territory, up by 17 points. Instead, you commit a personal foul penalty, and then Texas goes down, scores a touchdown, and has all the momentum. So if Mississippi State can just not get in its own way, keep kind of executing or performing like it has offensively and defensively, and just make smart decisions, I think in the fourth quarter is going to be the key.
Let's get you out of here on this. I know that you were going to potentially be over at Duty Noble today. Brian O'Connor's gotten hired there, Virginia yeah. National Championship winning coach. How much do you think that's changed Mississippi State baseball?
I think it's been tremendous. I mean, that guy, when you listen to Brian O'Connor, is incredibly intense, but almost in a good way. And I think he's absolutely brought a whole lot of new juice and energy into the program. They're recruiting super, super well right now. And they did super well in the transfer portal too. A lot of guys, the top guys from Virginia, followed him. His entire coaching staff almost came with him from Virginia to Mississippi State. And so I think fans are super, super excited about the possibilities that Brian O'Connor can bring here to Mississippi State, because the talent in terms of just the roster on paper right now is really, really high, much better than last season. And as I've tried to go and, you know, project, you know, what the starting lineup is going to be come February, it's a very hard exercise, and one that I'm glad I don't have to make a decision for.
Yeah, it's always the trouble with these great SEC baseball programs. It's the talent far exceeds the number of positions that are available to play. Sam, appreciate you joining us. Hope that we see you Saturday up here in Fayetteville.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Sam Sklar of the Clarion Ledger on Mississippi State. We appreciate him being here. We also appreciate you being here. Hope to see you on our show again tomorrow or at our website, wholehogsports.com. Have a great day, everybody.